G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. I'm Graham Curry, your host from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilos or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle, and I successfully maintained that weight loss now coming up 2 years. I wanted to bring this series of podcasts to you to give you an insight into what it's like to living an intermittent fasting lifestyle. I'm also the author of the book, The Fasting Highway, which is a story of my journey overcoming chronic addiction to fast food and sugar and taking that walk from morbid obesity to normality. So sit back here with us on the Fasting Highway in the next few weeks and listen to some inspiring guests and some experts in the intermittent fasting community. And thank you for joining us. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. And this is episode 43. So today I'm extremely thrilled to have with me my friend and New York Times best-selling author, and Jin Stevens. And Jin is the author of Fast, Feast, Repeat, Delay, Don't Deny. He's the founder of the Delay, Don't Deny Facebook community, which has grown to a staggering 400,000 plus people. And she's joined today by Sherry Bullock. And Sherry is a podcaster, intermittent faster, and an inspirer. And Jin and Sherry have teamed up to bring us a new podcast called Life Lessons and also a Facebook group of the same name. And Jin and Sherry have inspired people all around the world with intermittent fasting. And it's a bit of a shift away from that. And as the title suggests, it's about life lessons, life hacks, tips, tricks, you name it. And it's a fantastic sharing community that they have both created. So here to tell us all about that today and a bit about what they've been up to is Jin Stevens and Sherry Bullock. Welcome. Oh, g'day, Jin and Sherry, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you for joining me.
Hi, we're glad, for having glad to be here.
Thank you. So what we might do, Sherry, we might start just with a little bit of your backstory and just tell people who you are, where you're from, and what you sort of do and that sort of thing.
Oh, okay. My name is Sherry Bullock. I am from Midwest United States. I grew up in Kansas, I moved to Colorado, and then I moved to Alabama in 2014. So that's been sort of a life-changing event. You would think that, you know, it's all one country, it's all the same, but cultures are so different around the country. It's been a learning experience for me. I work for a major hospital. I've always worked in university hospitals. I love the energy of that. I work in the emergency room. Like my passion is really critical care and trauma patients. But outside of work, I just have this like zest for learning everything. And literally anything. I love biohacks. I really love how the body works. I love how the mind works. I love how we can shape our own stories with our thoughts and how we can, you know, rewrite our story anytime we want. And that's kind of what I did. I had a life that was not going the way I wanted it to go. I had a marriage that wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. And I just decided, this is one life. I have to make the most of it. And I literally just started over in 2014. And that brings me to today.
Oh, fantastic. And so, Jin, what have you been up to? And I know 2020 was a very busy year for you. And what we might do is get a bit of an update where you are with the last 12 months and also tell us about FFR and how the distribution's going around the globe, because I know a lot of people want to know that.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, Graham. Again, has it been a year? When did you start your podcast?
I started in August last year.
Wow.
So you were on not long after that.
Okay. Year. Okay. Well, you know, 2020 was a crazy year and many of us had, you know, horrible things happen, but overall, professionally, it was a great year. So I guess people are home reading. And so I'm grateful that people are home reading about their health and wanting to, you know, take the opportunity to be as healthy as we can, because that helps us, you know, with intermittent fasting, it helps us to prevent disease in many cases. You know, it's not going to keep you from getting sick, but it can help your body be healthy to handle anything that you get. So Fast, Feast, Repeat came out in June, and it was a New York Times bestseller, which was thrilling. And, you know, I had my fingers crossed, as did my publisher, that that would happen. But when it did, Sherry was right beside me, actually, that day. We were at my beach condo, and we were already drinking a glass of champagne just because we were at the beach and celebrating, you know, being together and with another friend. And my agent called and said, you know, the good news about the New York Times bestseller, and Sherry and I continued to celebrate, and it was very exciting. So then, you know, we talked about, you know, what are we going to do going forward? And she called me one day and said, you know, I want to start a podcast, and you've got podcasts, so please, you know, walk me through the steps. And so we were talking, and then she said, you know, I'd like to talk to other people, maybe bring on guest co-hosts here and there. And I went, wait a minute, would you like to partner up with me? Tell me no. Feel free to say no if you don't want to. I don't want to take over your project, but I would love to be part of it with you. And thank goodness Sherry said yes. And so we started our Life Lessons podcast, which is not about intermittent fasting. And we have had so much fun. Episode 9 came out today as of the day we're recording, and we're loving it. So, you know, Sherry and I met through intermittent fasting. We've become great friends, and now we are business collaborators with a podcast. And thanks to intermittent fasting for bringing us together and helping us live our best lives. And now we can bring that, because, you know, intermittent fasting is just a part of who we are. We can bring our knowledge and expertise in other areas to you as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Jen, so Sherry, can you just run us through about how you started the podcast? What was your thinking behind it, the why, that sort of thing? And also the Facebook group, Life Lessons. I find that Facebook group absolutely fantastic, and I love it. And the reason I love it is I find it such a great distraction away from intermittent fasting, and I get pretty immersed in that, as you know, and I go into that page and I just read everything, and it's just so many hacks and stories and people's life lessons in there. So just tell us a bit about how it all started.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a reader. I'm an investigator. I want to know the why and the how of everything. And I just really feel like, I say this all the time, knowledge is power. And like, the more you know, the more it just opens avenues to you. And I feel like we all, like, I feel like America, maybe the world, has gotten away from that community spirit where you help your neighbor and you learn from your neighbor. And people are growing up without two-parent households. And there's a lot of things in life that we're just not getting through the years. And people are, you know, they're having to outsource little things in their house that they could potentially do themselves. They just don't have the background knowledge. And I've always thought, how could we collaborate and bring people together where they could share, you know, their knowledge and their skills with others to help the community and to better the community and to, you know, bring people back together in that spirit of community. And I also really, really believe, through years of my, you know, healing and moving forward into this, you know, next chapter of my life for the last 6 years, that we heal by sharing. And we heal when other people hear our story and they can recognize some of, you know, their story in our story, and we can talk about those things. And when people don't feel alone, and they can get their feelings out, and when they can help somebody else through what they've experienced, I think that is a very powerful thing. And I just thought, you know, what could we do that we could have all of this happening at the same time, where we could just really be enriching each other's lives? And so that was kind of the thought for the podcast. And Jen and I get together, and we're kind of, I say we're kind of geeks. Well, I'm always like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I read this new book on sleep and it was fascinating. And I'm telling her about the book, or I'm telling her about my Aura ring and how I'm biohacking my sleep with my Aura ring. And she's just like, Sherry, you always have these great, you know, things that you're studying, and you're full of this great information. why don't you do a podcast? And she said that to me last spring at the beach. And I'm like, well, I would love it. I just don't really know where to start. And I had this story in my head. This is kind of personal. My ex-husband used to tell me my voice was annoying and nobody wanted to hear what I had to say. So I had this story in my head that my voice was annoying. Nobody wanted to hear what I had to say. It wasn't important. And Jen really helped me like get over that. And so all summer I kept thinking about this podcast. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And in September, I contacted her and I was like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to do this. Like mentally, I was prepared. I had the idea in my head of how I wanted the podcast to develop, what I wanted it to look like. And then like she said, we're talking and she's like, well, who's going to host with you? And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't decided. I don't know if I'll have guest hosts or if I'll have one permanent host. I haven't got that far. And she got off the phone and about 5 minutes later, she called me back and she's like, what if I did it?
That's so true. Yeah.
And that was that. We went to the beach the next week and we sat down and we hashed it all out and we came up with the name. And I really wanted the name Community in the name of the name of our group. That's our website, lifelessonscommunity.com, because that's what it is. It's community. It's bringing people together. And the thing that has been really just amazing to me is I felt like this was a niche that needed to be filled. But what we are finding out every day is that it absolutely was a niche that needed to be filled.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what I love about it? It reminds me of my mum. And I'll tell you why. When I was a child growing up, my mother used to host these tea parties for the ladies of the district. And they'd all sit around and they'd swap tips about kitchen things and different things like hacks, you know, life hacks and life stories and life lessons. And my dad used to do the same with his mates. And I used to sit there and listen to them and they'd play records and they'd play snooker and that sort of thing. And the life lessons community really reminds me of my parents in those days where everybody gets in there, they're a community. And there's no aggro, there's no politics, there's no badness, and you can escape in there and just read the lovely stuff. And I've learned so much, and I never knew all these things about kitchen hacks and life hacks, and it's really inspirational.
It really is. You know, just today, for example, the kind of thing you might would have asked your neighbor in the past, like, how do you get a stain? I imagine, you know, 50 years ago, how do I get this stain out of my apron or something? But today it was, how do I get this stain out of my shoes, you know, the suede shoes. And we just go to the community and ask questions like that. And it's fabulous to see people helping each other, little things like that. But we're also tackling different types of issues that are more of a problem. For example, someone shared about an issue with a spouse who was a hoarder and how it has impacted them. And the other group members were quick to jump in. Many had stories. You know, we're just right at 8,500 members right now. So we've got a large, diverse group from around the world, but people were able to lend a listening ear and just, you know, empathize or sympathize or say, you know what, I have that tendency, or so does my spouse or my parents did that. And so just helping one another through, you know, a kitchen hack, how do I get the stain out, to help, you know, I'm having a life crisis. What's your advice? You know, we're tackling tough issues on the podcast as well.
Yes. And we, like, there was a girl last week, she had left an abusive relationship and she came to the group and she said, you know, this is hard. And I left and I got out, but now I'm like, did I make the right choice? What am I doing? Now I'm alone. What comes next? And I was just overwhelmed with the number of people who, one, could identify with her and make her see that she's not alone. So many of us have been there. And then just to give her the encouragement and the strength to stay strong. So, I mean, the range of topics are from super, super, you know, serious like that to what is your favorite brand of bath towels?
We had that one this week. We sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was one I put in a post about road trips in the southern United States, because I'm very keen to come over, as you know, and I actually had that planned last year. with the cruise net, and we were going to do a road trip through the southern states. And I put a thing in there about some information, and the information that I got was so great. And I've kept it all, and I kept all the posts and the people's tips about what to do and what the best roads were and the best route to see the whole southern sort of states. And I just found them fantastic, and it's so helpful.
It really is.
Yeah, it really is.
It's a community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. So, Sherry, I just wanted to circle back a bit, and with your work in the emergency department, I really wanted to acknowledge yourself and your colleagues, and thank you so much for everything you've been doing in that sort of department. I can't imagine how stressful that's been for you. But do you find with the podcast and the group that that's just such a great relaxer for you to get away from that?
It is. It is work for sure. I think I probably spend 10 hours a week on the podcast, but it is like such a change of pace. It is enjoyable work. It is work, but it's fun. I'm so like every time we come up with a topic and I start researching it and I start putting it together. It's just, it excites me. Learning excites me. Like if somebody would pay me just to go to college the rest of my life, I would just be a professional student. I love it. So, I mean, it's different. It's fun. It gets me out of that headspace. It's a different kind of relaxation, but it's so enjoyable.
Yeah. And Jen, I just wanted to touch back too about Fast Feast Repeat, and that day you and Sherry were drinking the champagne and you got that call about the New York Times bestseller. I cannot imagine what that's like and how overjoyed you must have been. I mean, I know what it takes for a person to get on that list, and it's an amazing achievement, and it's something that you'll always have that tag for the rest of your life.
That's really funny that you say that, because my agent said to me, she said, for the rest of your life, and even after you're dead, no one can take this away. That's Sherry heard me say that. And so, that was like really funny. I'm like, it's true. But then, to put me back into being humble, my son Cal was home with his wife over the holidays. And he's like, well, there are a lot of New York Times bestsellers. It's not that big of a deal. I'm like, thanks, son.
Yeah, leave it to your kid.
My 22-year-old, yeah.
I could say, I was there and it was such a special moment. Actually, we hadn't even popped champagne yet. It was kind of like the middle of the afternoon, maybe about 3 o'clock. And we had decided we'd go in from the beach and have a little champagne. And we had it. I think Jen had it in her
hand. I had it in my hand.
And she got a phone call and like, we knew it was serious. Like everybody just stopped and we were watching Jen, and then she just started jumping up and down and screaming. And it was so exciting. It was the best moment.
Oh, that's fabulous. Well, it's a great book, and for sure. And I always say to everybody, look, your first point of call is get Fast Feast Repeat, and also Delay Don't Deny, of course, which was the book that put me on my path and where I am now with the podcast and everything else. It's all started from there. And I think, Jen, one of the things I wanted to ask you in this is that you get accolades so much, in which you thoroughly deserve. And I know on a mini minute scale what that's sort of like. And how do you sort of deal with that, Jen, on a daily basis where you just get so many people that are so thankful to you?
Well, I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to spread this message. And I'm grateful that people hear it and listen and take me seriously. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical professional. I'm a teacher. And, for example, I interviewed someone for my podcast just a couple days ago, and we were talking about, how did she find intermittent fasting? Well, her dad introduced her to it. He read Delay Don't Deny. He's an anesthesiologist. He's not in any of our Facebook groups. But, to think that, doctors out there are reading my books and then recommending them to people, and that my books have helped doctors understand things about intermittent fasting that they didn't know. And it's really mind-blowing. Of course, there are critics out there. Anybody who puts out any information, there's going to be people who are critical of it. That's just, if I put out a book that said the world is round, people would say, no, it's not. The world is flat, because some people do believe that. And if you do believe that, I would encourage you to maybe try to do some more studying. Anyway, that's Jen, the teacher, talking. But my point being that, you know, when we put out information like I did with Delay, Don't Deny and Fast, Feast, Repeat, there can be a worry. You know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical professional. What if I get details wrong? You know, what if everybody's like, no, this is terrible information. You're so dumb. You know, so you take the chance, you take the leap, and you have to bravely put the information out there. And I'm so glad that I did that because, you know, if I let my fear of maybe being wrong, you know, we hate to be wrong. You know, I know a couple things in Fast, Feast, Repeat that if I could go back, I would write it a little differently. Not big things that are like going to change your fasting practice, but, you know, we want things to be perfect. We want there to never be an error. But the only way to do that is to never take a leap. And yeah. So I'm so grateful for taking the leap and honored that, you know, doctors recommend my books to their patients. You know, I had an endocrinologist who told me that he makes my book required reading for his patients that he sees that are struggling with, you know, type 2 diabetes and things like that. And that just, you know, it's humbling to think that someone like me could put this information out there and be taken seriously and help people. And I'm so grateful.
And people sort of probably forget too, Jen, the journey that you've been on with going from obesity to normality and losing a lot of weight. And I think they sort of sometimes just see you as an expert in the field of intermittent fasting, which you certainly are. And I think the sort of your journey has been amazing too, and that shouldn't be forgotten.
Well, thank you. And it's true. I lost over 80 pounds. I've managed to keep it off through the menopause transition. You know, I'm on the other side of it now and still wearing my honesty pants. And so I know what it's like to be on that diet roller coaster. I know what it's like to struggle. And, you know, I have a doctorate in gifted education. I have a master's degree in science. And so I'm a smart person. I was in Mensa before I quit. Long story there. But I'm a smart person. But I could not, for the life of me, figure out how to lose the weight following the standard dietary advice, eating all those small meals, counting my calories, restricting carbs. Oh, now I'm going to restrict fat. Oh, now I'm going to eat clean. Now I'm going to whatever. You know, I'm going to inject HCG into my veins because that's going to help me lose weight. I did all those crazy things and all the things that weren't crazy that we were told to do. And yet I weighed 210 pounds. And so I know how it feels like it's your fault and you're weak and you're failing. And thank you to intermittent fasting for giving me back, you know, the sanity and helping me live through life or move through life now in the body that feels like the body I'm supposed to have.
And thank you, yeah. Jen, oh, thank for you. Giving me the body that I was supposed to have.
Oh. Virtual hug.
Yeah, thanks.
Because I was the same way that Jen was. And, you know, I'd been on a diet since I was 12 years old. And I was enrolled in, I don't know if I can say it, a popular weight loss program where you go to meetings at the age of 12. And every time, you know, I had a child, I would go back on the plan to lose the weight or, you know, life happened and it got stressful and I put 30 pounds back on, I'd go back on the plan to lose the weight. And, I remember being as a young girl that I was like, I'm going to be a leader because you have to weigh in every month in order to lead meetings. So that would be like the incentive I need to, you know, keep my trim body. And then, so that was a goal I set, and I'm a big goal setter. So then I was a leader, and all of a sudden it did not work for me anymore. And I was doing everything right. And I did all the coaching to myself that I would have done for a client, and it just wasn't working. And my body I had lowered my metabolism so much that my body said, no, you can't lose weight. And that's when I found intermittent fasting and then eventually found Jen, and the clean fasting, you know, changed my life. And that was, you know, 5 years ago. I've been intermittent fasting now. So.
Yeah, that's really interesting too. What you said there, Jen, about smart people and weight and that sort of thing. I actually interviewed this doctor yesterday in New Jersey, And he's on the Obesity Medical Board in America, and he's going to be coming up on the podcast in a couple of weeks.
Oh, what's his name?
And he Dr. Avishkar Sabharwal.
Okay.
And he has a podcast called Decoding Obesity. And here's a fascinating guy, and he was saying, you know, Graham, he said, some of the world's most successful people are obese, and they're very, very smart people. And he said, so obesity is a disease that affects everybody. And it's not just because that, you know, you're not looking after yourself or somehow you have no willpower or whatever. And I think that's often misunderstood.
Oh, yeah. I had great willpower. I could do a diet where you eat 500 calories a day and inject yourself with HCG. And I could do it. I did it for, you know, 5 weeks. You know, that's great willpower right there. But still, you know, after you finish that, you've ruined your metabolism and you gain all the weight back and then more. And then you feel like such a failure. So you're like, I have this great willpower. Why am I, you know, yo-yoing all these pounds and getting bigger and bigger over the years? It's just, and now we understand why. You know, you cannot white knuckle your way through metabolic adaptation. Your body is going to rebel and then send you the signal to eat more. You know, we know this from the research with the Minnesota starvation experiment way back in the 1940s. We know how our bodies respond to long-term over-restriction. They send us the signal, you better eat or you're going to die. And then we listen, and then we beat ourselves up for being weak. But really, no, that's just the way our bodies work. You know, we're not designed to live in a chronic state of over-restriction without there being metabolic repercussions. You know, we also saw that in the Biggest Loser study that they did following the people who had been on that competition show. And the ones who had the greatest metabolic damage were the ones who had been the most successful at keeping the weight off, because they white knuckled it through all that. You know, they were like, by golly, I'm going to keep restricting. And then they had to get more and more restrictive. But the ones with the worst damage were the ones who had followed the program the best. So I just thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, it is. And Sherry, how did you actually get into intermittent fasting in the first place?
Well, you know, when I moved to Alabama, I moved here from the Denver area. And when I was out there, I was a very active person. The weather is cooperative out there. And so I hiked and biked and walked. And I mean, I was getting 20,000 steps a day. I rode my bike everywhere. If I wanted groceries from the store, I walked there to get them. If we wanted ice cream after dinner, we walked up to the ice cream place to get an ice cream cone. I stayed super active and I was able to manage my weight. And the minute I moved to Alabama and I started commuting nearly 70 miles to work, working long shifts. And also I live in a rural community. It's not a walkable community like where I came from. And I didn't walk anywhere. Plus the weather here is awful. So all of a sudden I went from being this extremely, you know, physically fit, very active person to a much more sedentary person. And I mean, I was counting points and I was counting calories and I was counting macros. And in the first year that I lived here, I instantly put on 45 pounds. No matter what I did, it just would not come off. And, you know, here I am trying to start my new life and I'm trying to, you know, heal some old traumas and you know, gain my confidence back. And I'm feeling like a complete failure because I can't stop this weight gain. And I literally felt broken and beat down. And one day I just happened to, a lady tried to sell me something that you were supposed to drink while, quote unquote, fasting. And then you ate in an 8-hour window. And so that got me looking into, you know, fasting. I found the 8-hour diet. I started doing that. And I did take off about 35 pounds in about a 5-month period. Now, I was still, I'm going to say, I was following a 16-8 plan and I was still pretty much dieting. So I really feel like I had success with 16-8 because I was still eating as if I was on a diet. And it did take the weight off, but I started to have some weight rebound. And that is what got me really exploring, okay, am I doing something wrong? Why, you know, what is the science here? That led me to the 5-hour or to the Fast Five, Dr. Bert Herring's book. And from one of his Facebook groups, I found Jen's group. And so then I joined Jen's group, and Jen laughs because I joined her group and I left her group.
I love this story. This is one of my favorite stories because it has a happy ending.
Tell us.
I joined Delayed Don't Deny, and I'm just going to tell you, I was not clean fasting. I did not believe that was a thing because, I mean, I'd lost 35 pounds drinking Diet Dr. Pepper and drinking stevia in my coffee. So I'm like, what? No, you can lose weight and drink stevia and drink Diet Dr. Pepper. What is this lady talking about? And, you know, you're part of her community. That's sort of a non-negotiable. And everybody was like, no, that's your problem. You know, that's why you're regaining weight. And I'm like, these people are crazy. And I'm just not even going to do this. And I left. And I joined a couple of other intermittent fasting groups on Facebook. And because I really needed some support, I wanted that community support. I didn't have it here. Nobody here was fasting. My husband didn't understand it. My coworkers didn't understand it. And I really just wanted that community support. And so I'm going to these other groups, and some of them were just like crazy with the, you can only eat 800 calories a day. And I'm like, nope, 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 not doing that. And somebody in one of the groups posted an article about the cephalic phase insulin response. And I started reading it, and, you know, I'm an investigator. So I had to read through it. I started reading some studies, and I'm like, huh, that one lady's group might be onto something. And so I ordered Delay Don't Deny, and I came back to the group, and I think I actually said I was here once and I left, but I'd like back in because I now believe in the clean fast. And that's how Jen and I met. I mean, thank God I was not hard-headed. See, I'm a holdout. I'm always a holdout on things. But I came back, and then her and I became fast friends. So it was meant to be.
So where did you guys actually physically meet for the first time? On one of the cruises?
Oh, can I tell this story? Because this is funny.
Sure.
Okay. So the first Delay Don't Deny cruise, when was that? Was it 2018, Sherry? Yes, right?
Yes,
2018. Uh-huh. All the years are running together. 2018. And, you know, we were going in June on the first cruise, and Sherry was signed up to go, and I was signed up to go, and I was rooming with a friend of mine that I taught with, and Sherry was rooming with someone that she had met through the Facebook groups, and we were getting ready to go. But Sherry and I had connected, as, you know, I think by then we were, you know, I think she became one of my very first moderators, and we were friends. I felt like we were friends. I felt like we really connected, even though it was all virtual. You know, you can really tell about people. If you like someone over the internet, you probably like them in real life, unless they're, you know, not presenting their real self. But I knew Sherry was real, and I liked her. So we started planning the second cruise before we had had the first one. And we were going to go in March of 2019. And I chose that time because it was less expensive. And also, you know, I was retiring from teaching, and I'm like, I can cruise whatever I want, you know, but I chose the less expensive time because I wanted people to be able to go. You know, I didn't want to plan an event that was out of the, you know, financial reach of people. So March was chosen, but we hadn't been on the first cruise yet. But I knew that my friend who was a teacher wouldn't be able to room with me. So I was like, well, I've got to find a roommate. And none of my teacher friends or people I know in real life are going to be able to go. So Sherry, would you room with me? Is it weird for me to ask you? I haven't even met you. Would you be my roommate on the cruise? And she said yes. And thank goodness we were right about each other, and we were great friends. And yeah, we roomed together on the second cruise. We were going to room together in 2020, but that didn't happen. But, you know, we travel together now. She and her husband came to our house for New Year's Eve, and that's how it happened.
So Sherry, how far away do you live from Jen?
Without traffic, under 4 hours. It just depends. I have to drive through Atlanta, Georgia, which is crazy. So we really don't live that far, but traffic sometimes makes it difficult. And then funny story, New Year's Day, driving back from her house, And so when she's in a different time zone, so I always like gain an hour back when I leave her house. And so we leave her house and I should be home by like, you know, 6 o'clock in the evening, no big deal. Other than we kept running into tornadoes and we kept having to pull off the interstate and wait for the tornadoes to pass. And so we didn't get home until like 8 o'clock that night. It was like the longest trip from Jen's house ever. But we made it home safely. But yeah, not too far, really.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, Jen, let's go back to the Life Lessons podcast and let's talk about a couple of the episodes.
Okay.
I really enjoyed the sleep one. I find sleep fascinating and I often think about sleep in this way, that you know how we're always told you need breakfast, you need to eat 3 meals a day and all that, and we know now that that's a myth. Is sleep, do you think, the same? Because I often think about that. And the reason I say that is this. I worked with this guy about 20 years ago, and he was a special forces soldier in the army. And he was trained in the art of power sleeping, where this guy used to only sleep 3 or 4 hours a day. And he'd wake up and he'd feel like he'd be sleeping 10 hours a day. And I found those hacks in the sleep podcast really great.
You know, I think that this illustrates the idea of sleep, and we must get 8 hours of sleep a night or, you know, XYZ is going to happen. That's just one of those things that's based on an average, just like the glycemic index, all based on averages. Well, Dr. Tim Spector, in his latest book, Spoon Fed, highly recommended. He's the one who's doing the PREDICT studies out of the UK with, you know, our gut microbiomes and genetics and, you know, what does it all play? You know, what part does it all play? But he has a quote, and I'm just going to paraphrase it. He says something like, very few of us are actually average. You know, think about the bell curve for anything, height, you know, for example. Let's say that we said the average height of a woman, I'm just going to make something up. I don't know what it is. I'm 5'5", so let's say that. Let's say the average height for a woman was 5'5". So if you met somebody who was 5'6", you'd be like, oh, you're too tall. Sorry, you're not the – you know, we tend to think that average is somehow what we all have to shoot for. Like if 8 hours of sleep is average what we need, we're all the same. We're not. You know, your friend, it sounds like, needs less sleep and thrives on that. And does that mean that he's ruining his health? Not if his body naturally is adapted to that. You know, there are people that have different circadian rhythms. Maybe they are most alert in the middle of the night when we would be sleeping. And if I did that, it would be awful for my health, but it's exactly what their bodies are, you know, wired to do. So I want us to stop following random advice that's based on an average that none of us are. You've got to figure out what feels right to you, whether that's sleep or, gosh, how much water you drink. We get people who are like guilty. They're like, oh, no, I don't drink enough water. And I'm like, stop feeling guilt over that. You know, we are not so fragile that we're designed that if you don't have a thermos with you or a canister of water with you at all times, I mean, our bodies are not meant to have to be like that. Stop feeling guilt about sleep and water and whatever. Let it go.
Yep. There is no instruction manual for the body.
Right.
So it's not like there's a master plan for how all people should sleep and how much water they should have and how many calories they need. And there's no master plan it's not just quantity of sleep, it's quality of sleep. So if he's getting, you know, super good quality sleep in 4 hours and feels amazing, that's great. But if a person lays down for 4 hours and never gets into that deep and REM restorative sleep, they're going to feel awful. So I think people need to focus more on quality over quantity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I also wanted to talk about the episode. You talked about the vibration plane. And this is quite funny because I was out walking, right, listening to that episode. And I came home, my wife said, hey, guess what? I just acquired this vibration plate. I said, you're not going to believe this. So I said, I was just listening to a podcast.
Thanks, universe. This
guy, yeah. And this guy, he stands on the vibration plate and he drinks his coffee. And anyway, this particular vibration plate has a seat on it as well. And what the seat's for is for, you know, core strength. So you sit on it and you sit upright because apparently this particular vibration plate, my wife rides horses, and this vibration play is very good for your core. And so you sit very up straight and jump on it. And I'll just say it's very interesting. But anyway, I got a coffee and I thought, oh, okay, I'll hop on it and see what happens. And yeah, the coffee sort of was a bit hard to drink at the time because I figured I had on too high a speed. But
I can just imagine that.
Yeah, it was really weird. And I anyway, I jumped off it and I've used it a few times since. And I've got to say, I actually reckon it's making a difference to me. Like I've got a bit of arthritis in one of my hips and I just notice I'm a bit more freer in my walking action and that. And I feel really good.
Yeah. It's funny. I'm not, I like to joke that I'm lazy, but I'm not. I'm efficient. So I like to do things that are going to maximize, you know, benefits in a short amount of time. So if I can stand on a vibration plate and get great benefits from it in a shorter amount of time, and also I can, you know, multitask while I'm doing it, that's a really good use of my time. So I got my first vibration plate actually in 2015, and I've been using one ever since. Because, you know, the science really sold me. I remember I was on a band trip with my son and sitting there talking to another mom, and her husband was a nurse, and he used a vibration plate, and he was sold on the science. And again, this was 2015, and he was sold on the science of it and talked about how it had been developed by astronaut, you know, the NASA, you know, astronaut programs, and to help the astronauts build muscle and bone density. And so, you know, it sounds like a crazy thing. You know, I look back when I was a little girl, my mother had one of those things that you stretch the little band around your waist and it vibrated, and it was supposed to vibrate off your love handles or something. You know, my mom had one of those. She was a dance teacher, and I don't think that worked, but for the purpose she intended it. So we're not talking about that kind of thing, those wacky machines from the 70s or 60s. There's solid science behind these machines. And here, at Augusta University, the Medical College of Georgia, they're doing, you know, they do all sorts of research there, all different things. But there's actually scientists there that are researching vibration therapy and the benefits that it can have to your gut microbiome or to insulin resistance. And it's fascinating. So I think it's a great thing to, you know, it's a life hack right there. Put it into your life. It's easy. You stand on it, you get off, it's not hurting you, and it's probably helping you, and it feels great.
You do it too, Sherry?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
What have you found? What is the benefits for you?
Well, so I have, it's called SI joint dysfunction. So I have a really wonky pelvis. And so I have a lot of hip pain. I mean, like sometimes it just hurts to walk and get around. And it just keeps my hips loose. I don't get that crampy, you know, feeling. I don't get the pain shooting down into my leg. Like I'll get some IT band tightness if my hips flared up. So it's really helped with that. But I also carry a lot of my stress, especially at work, in my upper back and shoulders. I think that's where I carry my tension. A lot of people do. And just getting on the vibration plate just really kind of relaxes that and loosens everything up. And I've gotten to where I use it in the morning, and then I use it on like sort of a slower relaxing mode before bed. And it just really kind of helps me relax before I get into bed.
Can I tell y'all a funny story?
Yeah.
My husband, Chad, is an admin in all of my Facebook groups. And really that was just from back in the day when I started them, and he didn't even really go on Facebook, but I put him in there as like a lifeline in case I got kicked off of Facebook or lost my account, he would still have access to the groups. So he doesn't really do any moderating or any adminning. But the other day, someone had asked a question in the advanced group about vibration plates, like how you use it. And I was just scrolling through my feed and I saw that he had commented, and it cracked me up. I talked to the moderators about it. We were laughing. Chad said he gets on the vibration plate and just moves his hips around. So when you said that, Sherry, about your hips, you know, being tight, it made me think of that comment. And so, yes, my husband, he has a doctorate in a PhD in organic chemistry. So he's a scientist, but he gets on there and he, as he explained to the other group member, he moves his hips around while he's standing on it.
I'm picturing Chad like belly dancing.
Can you imagine him moving his hips around while he's standing on the vibration plate? But it was just hilarious. And I just laughed so hard.
So, hey, Jen, I wanted to ask you also, What are some of the things you like to do that people might not know about you? I know that you love the beach and you've got a condo there, and I know that you said that you like real estate and that sort of thing. And a little birdie told me that you're writing another book. Is that right?
I am. I can't really talk about it much yet, but I am working on it. It's not an intermittent fasting book, even though it has a section, a tiny chapter in there about intermittent fasting, but it's not an intermittent fasting book. But, you know, I used to love to read. Read fiction. And now I don't have time to read fiction much. But I love to take a long bath. I remember one time I was watching Oprah back in the day, and someone asked her what her hobbies were. And she said bathing. And I'm like, Oprah, you're my girl. I like to get in the bathtub and read a book. And as I said, I don't have time for that. I love home decorating. You know, I have a knack for that. My grandmother was an interior decorator. So, you know, if anybody needs any help with buying furniture or picking paint colors, I love to do that sort of thing. Designing a kitchen, you know, I've gutted, not personally gutted them, but I've hired people to gut the kitchen and then designed my kitchen, you know, myself. So I love that sort of thing. You know, I have a creative mind and I'm always thinking of something to do.
You know what I love about your pictures when you post your meals, Nat? Your table is always beautifully set. And I always look at that cow butter dish and I think, if I ever get invited to Jin's place, I'm going to nick that cow dish for sure.
Well, I will watch the cow dish if you're around and I will keep my eye on it.
For sure. Well, toilet paper will be safe.
There you go.
Didn't you say that you had your car broken into and somebody stole the toilet paper?
Oh, yeah. My husband's truck in the driveway, he didn't lock it at night one night. And he had a big, you know, huge value pack of toilet paper that someone stole out of the truck. We live in a very safe neighborhood and because our street, it's not a through street. You're pretty much only the people who live here. So maybe it was kids. I don't know. But someone stole the toilet paper out of his truck from our driveway.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The toilet paper pandemic.
Graham, if you steal her cow butter dish, there might be a posse after you, because I don't know if you were in her groups when she broke the original cow.
Oh, yeah.
But the very first picture she took without the cow butter dish, people were like, Where's the cow?
I had to buy a new one. I got it on Amazon. And so it's, you know, you can find this on Amazon. And I've since heard that, I mean, I didn't know this at the time because I don't watch The Big Bang Theory. I totally should, but we've never gotten into The Big Bang Theory. I think we would like it. But they had a cow butter dish, which I've heard many times. So,
Sherry, away from IF and away from everything else, what are some of the things that you like to do? What's some of your hobbies, or do you play sport or anything? Or
I'm an outdoor girl. So if I can be outside, I am happy. I used to live on the water. I just bought a house. It'll be 3 years ago, actually, this spring. My, how time flies. I live about a block from the water. So I love to kayak. I used to bicycle a lot. I have not done it since I moved here. And I actually just found a new place that somebody recommended in the Life Lessons community. A lady happens to live really close to me, and she told me a great place that her husband bikes. So I'm excited this spring about dusting my bike off and getting back out and doing some bicycling. I love to camp. I love to hike. Unfortunately, I haven't done a lot of that in the last few years. My husband and I are kind of opposites. When it's hot, I want to be outside. And when it's hot, he wants to be inside. We're trying to find a happy medium. I did get him to go camping with me last summer, and we had a great time. He likes to fish, and I like to just paddle around and float on the water. So he did some fishing, and I hung out and with him. And so that was fun. But I love to travel. Any beach is a good beach by me. I have not done enough traveling. That's something I'd like to do more of in the future.
Yeah. So, Jin, is that on your radar? A bit of travel? I think you mentioned that to me before when we were having a chat. You would like to do some traveling.
I would like to travel. And, of course, you know, we haven't been traveling 2020. And even here now we're into 2021. Traveling does not look like something we're all going to be doing a lot of. Hopefully, going forward, we will. I do like to travel. I've realized, you know, now that I'm retired and I could do whatever I want, I am very much also a homebody, which I don't know if I'm surprised by that, but I stay home a lot, and I like to be at home. It's my favorite place to be. And so I like to travel to our beach condo, and that's home. It's home away from home. You know, my toothbrush is in the drawer and my shampoo is in the shower. And so I just have to take my clothes and drive there. So I like having, I like being home, whether it's home at the beach or home here in Augusta. But I, you know, I'd like to travel. I love to meet people. You know, I'm energized when I'm around people. You know, I'm an extrovert in that way. But then I also like to come home and recharge and be by myself.
Yeah, I can't wait till we travel again. It's, I mean, here in Australia, we've, well, I live in Western Australia in Perth, as you know, and we've basically been pretty much unaffected by this pandemic. We've been very lucky. And the only thing that we've had our borders shut, and we haven't been able to even travel much within Australia. And we can't go overseas at all without special permission. And they just extended that for a few more months. So, and they've just scuttled all of Qantas planes that are sitting in the Mojave Desert at the moment. The whole fleet, they flew these big 380 Qantas planes over to the Mojave Desert. And they've parked them up there, and they're expecting that they're not going to use them for another 12 months.
Yeah, yet. Like cruise ships. And they're all parked, you know, docked. And just imagining these massive, you know, transportation, the ships, the change that has occurred. I mean, it's going to be a long time before those industries recover.
What happened to the cruise this year, Jen? Was that canceled as well?
Well,
the DDD cruise?
The 2021 cruise what has been canceled for this year as well, because Carnival, we had it scheduled to go out of New Orleans in June, and Carnival canceled all their New Orleans cruises, I think, for a certain period of time. And I think they're doing some work on the ship, but yeah, it's not happening. So instead of trying to plan a different one, you know, you just don't know. So we're going to wait. We're not going to plan anything right now. We're going to wait until we are certain that it's up and running. Because here's the thing. Even if we did cruise, you know, what I love about a cruise is gathering with people and meeting people and being around them and the shows and the clubs and the, you know, the comedy club, going to the bars and seeing the band play or karaoke, you know, things like that, dancing. And if we can't do any of that, then it doesn't seem like really the right time to go. So I want to wait until the restrictions are lifted to the point that we can hug each other. And, you know, if I can't hug people, I don't want to, I want to be able to hug you when you're on my cruise and not have to be afraid of the pandemic. Sherry?
I was going to say, I was actually just talking to one of our members yesterday, Lainey, and we were talking about that day that we sat there at that beach bar and just what an amazing day that was.
And
I said, I was like, I would give anything. If we could travel tomorrow, I would call out sick for the rest of the week and I would jump on a plane and go to Jack Shack and Grand Turk and do that day.
That was one of the best days ever. We just sat there at the beach bar. It's like one of the most famous beach bars. They had a dog. What was that dog's name, Sherry?
Topher?
Yeah, Topher passed away, unfortunately. But we got to meet Topher when we were there and all the dogs that lived there. And Jack's an expat from the United States, I think from the Boston area. And so he's got this bar in Grand Turk and you walk all the way down the beach and there you are. And it was just a magical day being there, meeting people from, you know, all over the world. Somebody who has read Delay Don't Deny is in the groups, who lives in Grand Turk. She came and met us there. She didn't cruise with us, but we got to meet her at the bar. And just such a great day. Beautiful day. March of 2019.
Is that in the Bahamas, Grand Turk?
No, well, it's in the it's an island.
In the Eastern Caribbean?
Yes.
Ah, the Caribbean, yeah. It was funny, actually, I had a message from a lady today in Trinidad and Tobago that was reading my book, and I thought, how weird is that? My book's in Trinidad and Tobago, of all places. Like podcasts, right? Like, you guys must look at the stats of your podcasts, and I know on Anchor I get the countries and that. And I look at the countries where the podcast goes to, and I thought, there's somebody in, like, United Arab Emirates listening to this, or Egypt, and I know Rachel Arwood lives in Egypt. And yeah, it's just amazes me, the reach of podcasts.
Yeah.
And so what's the plans for the future for you two? I mean, are you going to collaborate on something else or are you just sort of cooking up anything?
Sky's the limit.
You never know. Yeah. And the way that we work, you know, we might have an idea 10 minutes from now and then have it fully executed by next week.
That's exactly the way it goes.
We don't sit around and percolate. We do. We're doers.
Yeah.
I saw that picture you posted, Jen, of that sauna. That looked really interesting.
Oh, my God. I love it. You know you're good friends when you can put together a sauna. Sherry and her husband were here. And Chad and I felt like we probably couldn't do it, just the two of us. It had a big stack of boxes, and it looked intimidating. But also, I shared this, I think, on the Life Lessons podcast. One of the problems is Chad gets paralyzed by decisions. He's not good at them. And the minute we set up the sauna, he wasn't going to be able to paint the garage. So we had to think about where we're going to paint the garage for like over a month. And then finally, Sherry and Eric were coming. And I'm like, you know, they could help us. And they were going to be here at a certain time. So then we were able to dismiss the should we paint the garage. And we just didn't paint the garage. And we put the sauna up. But you know you're good friends when Sherry and I are in there and crawling around on the floor of the sauna. And my face is like, you know, 2 inches from her butt, because we're trying to connect the wires. And if anyone gets a sauna from Sunlight, and my tip is don't put the bench in until after you've connected the wires. But we put the bench in because the way the directions were, and then we're crawling around, and it was really funny. But we're good friends. Luckily, and we did it.
I'm very flexible.
Yeah.
So I was able to, you know, fold myself into a pretzel and get under there, and we got it running, and it's amazing.
So you just go use it in the wintertime? You wouldn't use it in the summer?
No, I thought about that, and I actually bet I'll use it in the summer as well. You know, I know it's hot here in the summer, but inside we have air conditioning, and so it's not like I'm hot all the time. I like getting out in that sauna and heating up, and it's a different kind of heat than even a Georgia heat.
Yeah, it's a dry heat. Yeah. Well, I mean, I say it's a dry heat.
It is.
Yet there is some moisture because, you know, we fogged up the... That might have been us talking.
I think that was
us. We fogged up the glass.
We were the moisture. Yeah,
for sure. But I love a spa. Do you guys like spas, like spa pools, what we're talking about?
Oh, yeah, like a hot tub. Oh, I'm so excited. We're actually, eventually, when the contractor can get around to it, everything's backed up here. Our pool that we have in our backyard that came with our house, I think it was built in the 80s and it's damaged. And so it's a little cracked. A tree fell on it at some point before we moved here. So we started looking into, you know, rehabbing that pool, and it's going to be better in the long run to actually remove it completely and start over. So I'm putting in a small, kind of like a dunk pool, I think they call them. And it's like a fiberglass pool. You can get in it and, you know, swim a little bit. And when it's, you know, hot, but it's going to have jets in it as well. And so we'll have a heater attached to it. So I'll be able to turn the heat on and the jets on, and it'll be like the biggest, you know, a hot tub or spa you would get in. And I'm so excited about that.
Hey, Jen, there's one thing also I wanted to follow up with you from our last podcast when I was talking to you. You were doing that study, that Predict 2 study.
Yes.
What was the outcome of that?
Well, you know, it's really no surprise, although I'm a little irritated by my results. my body doesn't clear fat well. And there it was. I had the info, and I was really hoping I was someone who cleared fat well. But when I look back at my diet history, you know, the low-fat diets worked really well for my body, and keto did not. Whenever I was doing, you know, keto or tried to do low carb, I always felt very inflamed and puffy and just not well. And so, you know, the information that Dr. Tim Spector and his group have, you know, about it, we don't all clear fat at the same rate. So if you're someone, if your body clears fat slowly, it's, you know, too much fat is inflammatory for your body. And I'm like, well, I actually knew that I felt inflamed when I was eating a high fat, you know, low carb, high fat or keto. And so this explains why scientifically. And so it's knowledge is power. Now, does that mean I'm not going to eat fat? No, I am actually fat free 19 hours a day when doing my fasting. So I don't have to count fat grams or worry about fat within my eating window. I eat food that's delicious, and I'm not going to restrict what I'm eating. But seeing it right there in the results of the study that, you know what, my body doesn't clear fat well. So a high fat diet that was centered around fat was really the wrong thing for me.
Yeah. And
wow, that's interesting.
I did the actual research study part of it when they were actually doing the 10-day study. It's a little more intensive than the one that is like available to the public to participate in right now. And it actually confirmed for me something that I kind of knew but didn't want to believe, and that is that I have poor blood glucose control. And I suspected it just because of the way I react to things like rice and pasta. I've had some episodes of hypoglycemia, you know, through the years. And so it's really interesting because I thought, oh, you know, I've been an intermittent faster for, at that point that I did the study, I'd been doing it 3.5-4 years. And I thought, oh, my blood glucose control has got to be fabulous now. Well, it's not. Now, my fasting insulin is amazing. And my hemoglobin A1C is amazing, but it just really brought to, you know, light that I do have to choose my carbohydrates, you know, carefully and really avoid like simple carbohydrates and white rice and that sort of thing.
And for anybody who wants to know more about this, if you go to jenstevens.com/Zoe, Z-O-E, and Jen is G-I-N, Stevens with a P-H, jenstevens.com/Zoe, you can read about the study. And if you're in the United States, you can, they have a waiting list right now if you want to get on that waiting list, but there's, it's fascinating. And I'm so glad that I did it because, you know, learning about our bodies and how we're all different, you know, then you start seeing the dietary advice that people are giving, like it's all universal. Just like I talked about before, our height is not average. You know, neither is the way our body responds to foods. You know, the glycemic index is based on averages. Mm-hmm. And so your body, the number is very, very small, like a tiny percent, 1%, 2%, 3%, something like that of people actually experienced the average blood glucose response that you would expect from, you know, for any one given food. Everybody else is on either end of the spectrum. So understanding your body and that we're all different is key.
Yeah, it is. And it's, well, as you know, my story and yeah, I found out that sugar and fast food don't work well for me. And once I sort of eliminated that, and I know there's been a bit of flux sometimes in some of the groups about the eat whatever you want message. And I know if you read your Fast Feast Repeat, it explains that very clearly. And yeah, so I hope people do pick up Fast Feast Repeat or any of Jen's books, and they talk about that. So last question, ladies. I want to know, when are you both coming to Australia? When you can, I know you got to wait till everything's clear, but we would love, you know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see an intermittent fasting conference in Australia where Sherry Bullock and Jen Stevens come down and speak.
Well, if you set that up and it's safe to travel, I can tell you Sherry and I will be there. Right, Sherry?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you can bring JJ and Eddie Freeman with you.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know what? You know, I was thinking about that today, about how these intermittent fasting groups, and you talked about you and Sherry having this great friendship. And I know I've made a lot of great friends from the group, you know, including yourself, Jen, and also like Eddie Freeman, and I talk to Eddie a lot, you know, and JJ. You know, I just find them great guys, and Charlie Cifarelli.
Oh, yeah.
There's just so many fantastic people in that group, and I think you can really see that theme is flowing over into the U Venture with life lessons. And I'd really suggest anyone that hasn't listened to Jen and Sherry's U podcast and also join the Facebook group Life Lessons. It's such a great community. But ladies, thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway. And it's now the 28th of January, which is officially my wedding anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Lovely wife,
how many Lou. Years?
4 years this year we've been married. We've been together longer than that. But yeah, we got 4 years on a very blistering hot day in Sydney. And so we're going to go away for the weekend. I'm going to have a digital detox. I don't know how I'm going to go, but I'm going to get Lou to take my phone off me and just enjoy life. All right. You guys take care. And it was so lovely. And thank you for being on the podcast. And Sherry, I've got to tell you, you have a lovely speaking voice. So you tell Mr. X from me that he's wrong.
Oh, thank you, Graham. And thank you for having us.
Okay. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much, Jen and Sherry. That was fantastic. As always, inspiring, motivating, and encouraging. And I thank you both for creating Life Lessons. I think it's going to be highly successful, or already is. It's a great podcast and also a great Facebook community that you've created. And I think taking a step away from intermittent fasting with that group and what you've developed has been a boon for everyone that's involved. And it's fantastic just to go on there and share some tips, hacks, and life lessons. So coming up next week on the podcast, we've got another treat from Dr. Avishka Sabharwal. And Dr. Sabharwal is an obesity specialist and is also an intermittent faster. He's a member of the Obesity Medical Board as well. So don't miss that one. And so thank you, and until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.